welcome. Sunday program. So continuation with the theme that we started on Thursday, which is Ram Lila. Each day we've been taking some verse from the Bhagavatam and discussing a little bit about the pastimes and the philosophy surrounding Ram's activities. So, in conclusion, I chose one verse which talks about Hanuman. I think without speaking about Hanuman and during Ram's Leela, pastimes and appearances, it's like doing something that is offensive and incomplete. So, I picked one verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam as an introduction to Hanumanji. This is from 9th Canto, chapter 10, verse number 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Because of the limited time, I'll go right into the verse. Sukadev Goswami said, after constructing a bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains, whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of the great monkeys, Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka to release Sitadevi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishan, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers, headed by Sugriva, Nila, and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom, Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. Great mountain peaks covered with trees and plants were thrown into the sea by the monkey soldiers and began to float by the supreme will of the Lord. By the supreme will of the Lord, many great planets float weightlessly in space like swabs of cotton. If this is possible, why shouldn't great mountain peaks not be able to float on water? This is the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He can do anything and everything he likes because he is not under the control of the material nature. Indeed, material nature is controlled by him. Mayadakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Only under his directions does material nature work. Similar information is given in the Brahma Samhita. Yasyagyaki Brahmati Sambramat Kala. Yasyaika Brahmati Sambramokala Chakra. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Vajami. Describing how material nature works, the Brahma Samhita says that the sun moves as desired by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, for Ramachandra to construct a bridge over the Indian Ocean, with the help of monkey soldiers who threw great mountain peaks into the water, is not at all wonderful. It is wonderful only in the sense that it has been kept, that has kept the name and fame of Lord Ramachandra eternally celebrated. Om Gyan Timirandasya Ganajana Sarakaya Chaksu Unavitamyena Tasmai Shri Guru Ganamaya Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stampitamyena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swam Dadatika Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the question might arise, if the Lord is all-powerful, and He can do anything and everything, what does He need our help for? Why does He, in this case, gather a whole battalion, thousands, hundreds of thousands of monkey soldiers to assist Him in His attempt to overthrow Ravana and bring back Sita? Or in anything he does, why does he, you know, enact or try to get others involved if he's all powerful? That's the Lord's mercy, actually.
Not only is he all powerful, but he's actually, in the sense that even though we are also acting on his behalf, he's doing everything. He gives the power by which we can do whatever we do. And why does he do that? Because he wants to give the glory, and he wants to give the, what we said, the glory to his devotee, and he wants the devotee to become purified through the activities of devotion to him. He supplies the activity, he supplies the ingredients, he supplies everything, and also he gives the results. What is our position? We simply can be a good instrument in the hands of the Lord, or we can be a useless instrument. It's up to us how much of the mercy that we want to take, that the Lord is willing to give, and to take that mercy and actually become purified and become somewhat connected to him in his particular pastimes, like today spreading Krishna consciousness around the world. It seems like an impossible task sometimes when you look at the overwhelming situation, right? The world is overburdened by, you know, demoniac kings today, and the forces of those who are saintly are scattered and somewhat small in number, and everything is more or less controlled by materialistic forces. But really, when you look at it from a spiritual point of view, the Lord can change that in all in 1 second. And Prabhupada said, he said, we could take over the world in 18 days, but you're not ready. That means that through the surrender and service of the devotees, the Lord empowers them to do what he wills. And therefore great things are accomplished. Great things are accomplished. Prabhupada sometimes uses the analogy of this particular pastime to explain what is happening in today's world in terms of his mission. Yes, he also said, I crossed the ocean and I found a bunch of monkeys. And I recruited them into the army, and now we were trying to capture Sita back from Ravana. What does Sita represent? Material opulence, which has been stolen by the demons. And they seem to be all powerful and all influential. But actually, the situation is very much analogous to what happened 2 million years ago in this particular pastime. Is that the Lord, he just gathered up a bunch of monkey soldiers. I mean, they were powerful monkeys, no question. They were demigods who took birth in the Vanara race and became, you know, when we say assistants in Lord Ram's pastimes. But he didn't need any of them. He didn't need any. He could have did it all by himself. But that's the Lord's Leela. He wants to engage his devotees in not only taking the credit, giving the glory, but in giving them the opportunity to serve the Lord and take part in such a wonderful mission as the pastimes of the Lord. We're in Krishna's pastimes right now. We're in Lord Chaitanya's pastime. Same things happen. Lord Chaitanya has come to spread the Yuga Dharma through the Harinam Sankirtan movement. He's trying to recruit as many as he could to take part in that mission and become an instrument for his will to spread Krishna consciousness through everywhere. Same thing is happening now. But we have a tendency, we're like monkeys too. We're kind of like, we reach for the bananas sometimes instead of reaching for the, for the, you know, for that, for the nectar of the devotional service. Monkeys have that tendency. It's like it's a whole pastime in the Ramayana where I think at one point they were celebrating all the monkeys, and they went to the one grove and they were just eating all fruits and stuff, and they got really lazy, right? You know that's the part? You know that pastime in the Ramayana? They just start eating, they just start acting like monkeys again, right? Yeah, you remember that pastime? And then something, I don't remember the details, but it's really interesting. I think Sugriva came and said, "What are you guys doing? You're just acting like stupid monkeys. Come on, we got a mission here. Gotta help Ram, you know." So we have a tendency too. Lord Caitanya has a mission, and we're just sometimes we're sitting in our, you know, groves eating coconuts and bananas, forgetting about the mission. Anyway, not to berate this point, but the Lord is merciful in that He engages His devotees in helping Him, apparently helping Him, assisting Him. And here we see something wonderful is taking place. The Lord wants to build a bridge over the ocean. And so the monkeys are throwing rocks into the water, and a beautiful bridge is built. The Prabhupada said, for the Lord, something like this is not very wonderful. Not very wonderful. It's easy. He's floating so many giant, huge planets within the cosmic creation. And not only you, one, but millions of such luminaries and, we say, objects are floating. And not only are they floating, but they're actually working in a certain way. They're not just randomly floating. They actually have a particular pattern that they follow. And then the scientists and the, you know, those who are speculators on other worlds, they just say it's all happening by some chance. It's the most ridiculous. Even a child can understand that chance is not possible. But the scientists are so, some of them, not all of them, but some of them are so envious that they don't want to give credit to the person who deserves all the credit. So here, we're hearing about one great personality. What was the quality of Hanuman? He had many outstanding qualities. What was the quality of Hanuman that made him so glorious in his service? His quality was that he never considered any service too difficult. In fact, he welcomed anything as long as that service, he could do that to please the Lord. This is another important point. Sometimes we think, oh, it's too difficult, it's too hard, why am I have to do this? But we see, take the example of Hanuman. And what was the example? I mean, Hanuman, when he was a kid, and he was a playful little monkey. So what he did was, you know, his mother used to give him fruit all the time, because monkeys like fruits. So one day he was just playing around, and he saw the sun. He thought, wow, that's a nice fruit. So he decided to go for the sun, and he's the son of the wind god, Vayu, so he can fly. So he was flying towards the sun to grab it. But then Rahu, you know, he was also coming to attack the sun. Because it was time for... So he ran and he said, hey, Indra, look what this monkey's doing. He's coming at the sun, you know. So Indra came with his elephant, and he saw Hanuman running towards the sun, so he threw his thunderbolt at Hanuman. He was only a baby monkey. He hit him in the chin and knocked him flying back down to earth. He was unconscious. And then his father, Vayu, he was really upset. Here's his little child, you know, hit by the thunderbolt of Indra. And so he became so angry, he decided to withhold all the air within the creation. And he had that power. And so he just stopped all air. And when there's no air, you can't do that. You can't even take care of nature. Air to do that too. So it became such a problem with the demigods and everyone. They didn't know what to do. And actually, they went. They actually went to Brahma and said, "Brahma, hey, we got a problem here. Vayu's holding out all the air. Our planets are shaking. We can't even breathe. We're choking to death." Well, Brahma said, "What do you expect? Look what you did to his son. You know, he's always devastated. You have to apologize. You have to make up for that." So, headed by Indra, Brahma instructed all the demigods, "Okay, you guys, you think you're so great. But look what's happening. Vayus, look how powerful he is. He's the wind god." So they went to Vayu and they apologized. And then they agreed to give a benediction to Hanuman. And each one of the demigods gave Hanuman a benediction, a powerful benediction. I'll read some of the benedictions because they're interesting. Oh, Hanuman got the name Hanuman. What does Hanuman mean? Does anybody know the name, the meaning of the word Hanuman?
Broken chin.
Right. Broken chin or split chin. Because when he got hit with the thunderbolt of Indra, that's what happened. It broke his chin. So he got it. So Surya benedicted, Indra benedicted him that every limb on his body would be invulnerable. So Indra gave him that benediction, that he would be invulnerable. Brahma, he came and he sprinkled water from his kamandalu on Hanuman, which revived him, brought him back to life. Indra benedicted him, every limb would be invulnerable. Surya benedicted him that he would give him 100th of a thousandth of his effulgence. 100th of his effulgence, like that. Varuna benedicted him that he would never be in danger by any body of water. Yamaraj gave him a benediction that he would never see the rod of punishment, nor would he ever experience disease. Shiva benedicted him that he would be immune from death from anybody. So they gave him all these powers. Vishnu benedicted him that he would be the greatest devotee. Agni benedicted him that the fire would never harm him. Vishwakarma benedicted him, gave him that he would be invulnerable from any celestial weapon, even the celestial weapons. And other demigods benedicted him that he would be under no one's influence of curse. No curse could affect him. So he had all these powers, and he was only 5 years old monkey. So you can imagine what he was doing. He wasn't able to handle all this power at 5 years old. So you know what he started to do? He started to harass all the sages in the forest. He had all this power. And he was just harassing all the sages and they were disturbing their pujas and worship. So they didn't know what to do. So they came to his mother, Anjani. He said, "You know, your son, you know, we love him so much, but actually, making our life miserable." Yes, he's just got all these powers. He's harassing. So we want to put a not a curse on him. We want your permission that he'll forget all his powers, but only when he's reminded will he remember his powers. So his mother gave the permission. So that was him. So he forgot all the powers he got. And the only way he could remember is someone reminded him. Then he went, "Oh yes, that's right, I can do that." So he had that power. So when the monkey soldiers were on the shore of Lanka, and they were thinking, Jambavan was there. Jambavan had been around for thousands of years. He was old. And he was the king of the bears, but he was also one of the persons in that army also. So they were calculating, Sita's in Lanka. Lanka's 800 miles away. How to get to Lanka from the shores of India, southern tip. So each of the monkeys were saying, "Well, I can jump 10 yojanas." And other ones would say, "I can jump 20 yojanas. I can jump 30 yojanas. I can jump 50 yojanas." A yojana is 8 miles. like that. So, and nobody could jump 100 yojanas. So, Jambavan said, well, I can get there, but I can't get back because I'm too old. I used to be able to do it, but, you know, old age has a tendency to wear you out a little bit. Prabhupada used to say that. When I was a kid, I used to love to run and jump, but now I cannot do that anymore. I am the same person, but the body has changed. I am the same person, but the body has changed. I still want to run and jump, but the body is different. The body is different. Those of you who travel, you know. When you're young, you can travel and go here and there and do so many things. Now you still want to do it, and you do it, but boy, the results are different. You feel it. It's like all of a sudden, that's a whole different experience. So, but then, Jambavan said, Hanuman, don't you remember? You can do it. You can jump across. You can see, you can find Sita, and you can get back. Hanuman said, that's right. Yes, you remember his powers. So Hanuman, he leaped across the ocean. And he's flying. So he's going. And then while he's going, a mountain, Mount Mainda, comes out of the ocean. Beautiful mountain. And a personification of the mountain said, Hanuman, you have a big mission ahead of you. Why don't you just come and take some of my fruits and some nice rest on my mountain? And Hanuman said, Haribo, thank you, but no time. And then the mountain offered his obeisances and went back into the ocean. And then the purport of that is that a devotee has a mission. He's not thinking, how can he enjoy doing the mission? He's thinking, I've got this service to do, therefore that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing, is my service. So Hanuman was thinking like that. But he was flying a little bit farther. And then, at one point, this big, giant Rakshasi, she came out of the ocean. Her name was... What was her name? Huh?
Surasa.
Oh. Yes, Surasa. You're right, Surasa. Surasa, she came. And she said, ah, monkey, time for lunch. Lord Brahma has given me a benediction that no one can pass by my waters without entering into my mouth. Therefore, you are my lunch. Haribo. So, Hanuman, he assumed a big form. He took a form about 10 yojanas large, because he could expand his form. And she opened her mouth 20 yojanas. And she opened her, he expanded to 30, and she opened to 40, and he expanded to 50, she opened to 60, he expanded to 70, she opened to 80. And then Hanuman just shrunk down the size of a little tiny mouse. He went in her mouth, came out, and said, I have fulfilled the benediction of Brahma. And she said, very good, monkey. Actually, you're very intelligent. Therefore, I give you all blessings. Go on your way. And he went. Because he satisfied the benediction. So he went on his way. And then, another Rakshasi, Simika, her name was. She was different. Hanuman was flying along. All of a sudden, he couldn't move. But why can't move? Something's wrong. He noticed she had grabbed his shadow. She had the power. She grabbed his shadow and couldn't move. She said, ha ha, monkey, now you will be finished. I will have you for, you know, prasad. Monkey prasad. Good prasad, because Hanuman is a pure devotee. Anyway, so She opened her mouth to swallow Hanuman. Hanuman went double the size again. She opened to 30 yojanas. He went to 40. She went to 50. He went to 60. She went to 70. He went to 80. She went to 90. Again, he shrunk down. This time he went all the way down, and her throat went down, and her body grabbed her heart and ripped it in half. Ah! She just died, fell in the ocean. Hanuman ki?
Yeah.
So much for Rakshasis. Hanuman went. And this time he arrived in Lanka in the middle of the night. It was very dark. There was nobody around. And it was guarded by the personification of Lanka called Langini. Lankini. She was a Rakshasi also. And she saw Hanuman. She said, "Hey, what are you doing here? You can't be here." So he punched her. Now we stop here and give a little purport about this activity. We don't punch women, especially brahmacharis. It's not a good idea. But in this case, she was a Rakshasi. She got up. She said, "Oh, actually, Lord Brahma has told me there is a prophecy that one day one soldier will come and he will overcome me, and that will be the beginning of the end of Lanka." She said, and she said, "Therefore I give you my blessings, go on with your mission." So Hanuman immediately left. He was trying to find Sita, and it was dark, it was the middle of the night. And he was looking everywhere. And he was looking, he saw all these beautiful palaces, so he was looking inside the palaces to see. Because he knew Sita was very, very beautiful, but he didn't exactly know what she looked like. So he was looking. And he saw, like, finally at one point he came to the palace where Ravana was. And Ravana was drunk. And he was laid out, he was intoxicated, he was unconscious, and all these beautiful girls were all surrounding him. So he was trying to see which one was Sita. But then we give another purport. This is not a healthy service for brahmacharis to observe ladies such closely. But Hanuman, again, his service was to somehow or other find Sita, so he never considered anything else but that particular mission. So then he saw Mandodari, who was very, very qualified. She was the prime queen of Ravana. And he was thinking, "Is that Sita? Is that Sita? Is that Sita?" But then he concluded, "No, actually not." So he continued to look and look and look. Finally, something led him to where Sita was. She was being held in the Ashoka Grove. This grove was in a place within Lanka, and it was a place where she was being held. Ravana used to come there regularly and harass her. And her chastity and her vow to Ram was so strong that she would not even look at Ravana. But he would try everything to try to break her will, whatever he could do. And she had been there for almost 10 months. And Ravana said, "If you don't succumb to me within a year, I give you one full year, and then I will chop you to pieces and have you for breakfast." Isn't that nice? This was Ravana. Now, he could have... One pastime before, the wife of Nala Kuvera, I can't remember her name, but actually, Nala Kuvera is the son of Kuvera. Ravana is also related to Kuvera. Kuvera was actually... There's some connection between Kuvera and Ravana. Anyway, what was it? Vishrava, that's right. Vishrava was Ravana's father. And Ravana's father had two wives. One was the daughter of Sumali. And the daughter of Sumali, she married Vishrava, who was a sage. When Sumali was a demon. And that's how Ravana was born. His father was saintly, and his mother was a demon. And as Prabhupada explains this, that the son generally takes on the qualities of the mother, and the daughter generally takes on the qualities of the father, generally, like that. So Ravana had all the qualities of his mother. He was quite demoniac like that. So, but Vishrava also had another wife who was quite saintly, and from that Kuvera was born. So Kuvera and Ravana were like stepbrothers. They were like stepbrothers. So this wife of Nala Kuvera was the daughter-in-law of Kuvera, who was somewhat a cousin brother of Ravana. So that was her uncle. So he actually attacked his niece, and he actually defiled her. And she was so upset, she ran to her husband, Nala Kuvera, and she told him. And he cursed Ravana. That, "Ravana, you rascal, if you take another woman by force, you will die." Give him that curse. He had a whole bunch of curses on his head. That was one of them. He killed the king of Ayodhya, and then while he was dying, the king of Ayodhya, whose name was Aranya, I think, he cursed Ravana that you will meet your death by a human being. And then Nandi? He harassed Nandi, who was the bull carrier of Shiva, and said that your whole dynasty, he was cursed by Nandi that your whole dynasty will be destroyed by monkeys. So he had a bunch of curses. But he was thinking he was invulnerable from all these curses. Anyway, he was a little bit concerned about this one curse that he received, so therefore he didn't force Sita. But he was trying to break her will, and she wouldn't even look at him. So finally, Hanuman arrived in the Ashoka Grove, and he saw Sita there. And then he could see she was like a diamond in the rough. He could see that she had that celestial beauty, but she was dressed very, very poorly, and she was very, very unhappy looking. But still he could see, this must be Sita, this must be Sita. She was surrounded by these Rakshasis who were just trying to break her will. Finally they let her alone, and then Hanuman came. And he came into the right where she was, and when she saw Hanuman, she got scared. She said, "Oh, who are you?" He said, "I am the messenger of Ram." "Hanuman," she said, "no, you're not. You're Ravana in disguise. Don't come near me." And then Hanuman did two things. He started singing this beautiful song, which was a favorite song of Sita and Ram. And then he said, "I have a ring. Ram has been looking for you. We've been searching all over for you. He has sent me to find you. He doesn't know you where you are. But he has given me this ring that if I do find you, to show you that actually this is his ring. Just to prove that I am come on behalf of Ram." So she was finally convinced. And then Hanuman said, "Okay, let's go. Jump on my back." She said, "Hanuman, I can't. I've given my chastity to Ram completely. I cannot touch another man." And he respected that. She said, "I will only be saved by Ram. I will only be saved by Ram." So Hanuman left and said, "I will be back." But he decided, as monkeys, just to do a little damage before he left. Now, why? Well, you know, if you're just going to go there and do one thing, might as well do a few things. So he took this iron pole, he grabbed his iron pole and started smashing everything, smashing buildings and smashing trees, just breaking the whole place. All these Rakshasas started waking up. And what's going on? There's all this ruckus. Oh, there's this big monkey out there just breaking everything. So I didn't know what to do. So some of the soldiers assembled as an army, and they came. And Hanuman just beat them all to death with this pole thing. And then the word finally, and it's all finally, Ravana woke up. And then he was wondering, what's going on? So he started sending his soldiers out. And they were all being crushed by Hanuman. He was just having a ball, killing all these Rakshasas. They were just flying all over the place. Rakshasas were littering the place everywhere. Finally, you know, it's becoming a problem. And Ravana didn't know what to, so he said Indrajit. Indrajit is a powerful brother, younger brother. And Indrajit saw, so he took his special arrow, which was the Naga arrow, which is a snake. He fired it at Hanuman and it tied him up. He couldn't move. So they captured Hanuman and they brought him to Ravana. And Ravana said, kill him immediately. He's a spy for the enemy. Kill him. And Vibhishan, who was there, the younger brother of Ravana, he was quite saintly. Although he was born in this, somehow or other, he developed good qualities. Although he was the brother of Ravana, he developed some good qualities. And he actually was somewhat of a devotee of the Lord. So he said, actually, you can't, my dear brother Ravana, you can't kill him. He's an emissary. You don't kill an emissary, but you can torture him. So, and Indrajit said, yes, we should do that. What is the most prized possession of a monkey? His tail. So let's set it on fire. So they set Hanuman's tail on fire. But he had that benediction from the fire god, and he could never be burnt by fire. So his tail was on fire. So somehow, when that happened, he broke out of his chains, and he just started jumping. And he was jumping all along Alanka, from one building to another, and he was setting the whole place on fire. And then all the Rakshasas were going crazy. They couldn't catch him. He was just like having a good time, you know. Like jumping from one building to another, and they're all on fire. And finally, when he finished, he stood at the edge of the city. He said, I am just an insignificant servant of Ram. Wait, look what I have done. Wait till he comes. It will all be finished. And then he left, and he jumped back across the ocean again. So this is Anuman. He never considered anything too difficult. This is a good point. And spiritual master has given us instructions, he's given us some service. And whatever service or instructions we receive, we're grateful. To get service is grateful. It's like an opportunity to please the spiritual master, an opportunity to please the Lord. For giving a service to them, we should never think, oh, it's too hard, it's too difficult. Let me just see how I can just do the minimum amount and get by. We can always do that. We can just get our service done. But it's not satisfying to us, nor is it satisfying to the Lord. But when we do our service the best we can, with all our heart and all our attention, and try to make it nice, then it becomes a beautiful offering to the Lord. No matter what service it is, even if it's washing pots, sometimes we consider that a very menial service. But if it's done with devotion and it's done with desire to do the service very nicely, it's so pleasing, so nice. So one should never consider, well, you know, I'm not so important, I don't have big service. Every service is big in the eyes of the Lord. Prabhupada used to say that you're out preaching and someone is washing the floor, and Krishna doesn't see, he sees. What is the devotion? It's the devotion that Krishna accepts, not so much the service. The service is an opportunity to offer our devotion. But actually, it is the devotion that counts. So whether we're doing very little or apparently insignificant service by material standards, or whether we're doing something, it's not so much the service. It's the devotion and how much we want to please the Lord by that service, how much we want to satisfy the devotees and actually do the service in such a way that others will be benefited. That is Krishna consciousness. Not to just to get by. And so Hanuman was like that. And there's another story. Hanuman, when the fight was going on, finally the monkey soldiers arrived, headed by Ram and Lakshman. It was a tremendous fight. Have you all read the Ramayana? Is there anybody who has not read the Ramayana? I don't want to put you on the spot. Don't raise your hand. You haven't?
I've seen the video.
Ooh. You're kidding. Such a great scholar. You have not read the Ramayana. Oh my God, I guess you're just maybe in a different rasa. Anyway, you should read it. It's really exciting. I mean, you know, I'm just like it. I like war and adventure, so, you know. If you like war and adventure, it's like, wow, it's the ultimate. I mean, you can go to the movies and see all the special effects, but it's nothing compared to the Ramayana. Nothing. And this type of activity is transcendentally very elevating. You see, we take part in Krishna's fighting the demons. We can actually enter into these pastimes. They're so wonderful. So when the fight was going on, at one point, Lakshman was fighting with Indrajit. And it was a big fight. And at one point, Indrajit threw his javelin, powerful javelin. And when that thing was let loose, it was just screeching through the atmosphere. And with full force, it hit Lakshman in the chest and knocked him down. He was unconscious. Ram went over there and he was thinking, oh no, what happened? Lakshman just killed. And he was lamenting. Finally, one of the Kavirajas, one of the monkey Kavirajas, comes over and said, he did some tests and said, he's still alive, but it's a very critical situation. And there's only one thing that can bring him back. There's an herb, it's called Sanjeevani. And the only place you can find this herb is in the Himalayas, which was on the other end of India, in the northern part. So who could do it? And everyone looked around. Hanuman! Only Hanuman can go. So he left, and he flew through the air, and he was flying, went all the way to the Himalayas. And he found the mountain. What was the name of that mountain? It starts with an M. Yeah, it's like that. It's one of these mountains. Every time I try to remember, I forget. Huh? A very famous name too. There's a picture of, well, Hanuman, he's not really that intelligent, because sometimes brahmacharis are not so intelligent. it's somewhat of a quality of brahmacharis, they're not really always so intelligent. I used to be one, but still am. So anyway, it's not really they're not intelligent, it's just that their intelligence are within a certain area.
Is this
name? No. I believe it starts with an M. Madana or something like that. Famous name. It might be actually in here. We can look it up later. But anyway, Hanuman didn't know what the herb looked like. He forgot. So what he did, he grabbed the whole mountain. And he was flying back with the mountain. Now here's a part of the pastime you may not be aware of. Any of you here from Maharashtra? Any of you from Maharashtra? You're from Maharashtra? What place? Bombay. Okay. You know a place called Sitara?
Yeah, it's a small town.
There's seven mountains. Sitara means seven hills. One of those hills is the top of that mountain that Hanuman was carrying. Because when he flew over that section, the top of the mountain broke. And it fell. And it fell and it landed in this one area called, which is now known as Sitara. And today, the Kavirajas in that area, they go to that mountain to get their herbs in order to produce their medicines. Still do. I was there. I go there regularly. They always tell me stories how Hanuman was flying. And you can see the tip of that mountain, how big it is. It's huge. You can imagine how big the actual mountain was. It wasn't huge. So Hanuman was carrying this mountain all the way back, and finally he brought it back. You know, he wasn't considering how difficult the job was, but he did it. He brought it back, and the Kaviraj found the herb, and they administered in Lakshman, you know, again regained consciousness. So this is Hanuman. There's so many wonderful stories of Hanuman. Hanuman, I told you a couple other stories the other day and the life of Hanuman. How much he wanted to please Ram. Here's another example of Brahmacharya. One day, Sita, she was sitting in her room and she was putting on some of her makeup. So she put this red dot here that ladies have. So Hanuman, when he saw that, he said, Mataji, why do you wear that red dot? And she answered, well, because Ram likes it. Well, that's all he had to hear. So he decided to go out and he put all this red powder all over him. Figured if Ram really likes it, why just put a dot? Might as well do it completely, right? And yeah, all his old body was like covered all this red powder. So Ram saw him and said, what's happened to you? He said, oh, I wanted to please you. I know how much you like this. Ram didn't say anything. He just took it and accepted his service. So that was Hanuman. Another story. There's a temple near Jagannath Puri, just north of the Jagannath. It's called Bedi Hanuman Temple. Any of you been to that temple, Bedi Hanuman? Bedi means what? Chains. Now Hanuman, the deity of Hanuman is a red deity, completely red. Because Hanuman's a white monkey. But they have him with all that powder all over him. And around his waist there's chains, and around his feet there's chains. So what happened was, the ocean was flooding and became a problem. So the it just kept flooding. This was in Jagannath Puri. So the pujaris, they went to the temple and prayed to Jagannath. Jagannath, what are we going to do? You know, the ocean keeps flooding, it's destroying everything. So Jagannath said, oh, we have to stop for the arti. Okay, tell the last story. This one's nice. So Jagannath said, go to Hanuman, and he can come. He's in Ayodhya. Just bring him, and he'll guard the ocean. So the pujaris, they arranged. And so much arrangements were made. But finally, after a long time, they got Hanuman to come. So he was standing guard over the ocean, so it wouldn't flood. And the ocean didn't flood when Hanuman was there. But during that time, Jagannath, there's a time of the year where Jagannath just gets, they don't give his remnants out, they just give Khichdi Prasad out. It's like 2 weeks of the year or something. I don't know, there's a festival or something where you can't get Jagannath's remnants. All you can get is Khichdi. So Hanuman was eating that, just Khichdi. But he didn't want Khichdi. He was thinking, you know, when I was in Ayodhya, I was getting this nice maha that was offered to Ram. Now look what I'm getting. I'm doing all this big service too. So you know, he decided, well, the ocean's not flooding. So he decided at night to run back to Ayodhya and get some maha. And he would do that and come back the next day. So he did that. So finally, one time when he was gone, the ocean flooded. Everyone said, what happened? Where's Hanuman? Where'd he go? What happened? Oh, he's not around. And finally Hanuman came back and explained, well, you know, I'm not going to eat this khichdi. I want some good stuff, you know. So the word got back to Jagannath. Jagannath said, all right, you give him the good maha and you can distribute the khichdi to other people, but just make sure he stays. And to make sure, we should tie him up. So they put chains around his legs so he wouldn't leave. So he's known as Baby Hanuman. Has changed. One more quick story. There was one person who wanted Hanuman to appear to him. So he approached the sage, and the sage said, I'll give you a vrata. You meditate and you chant the you meditate on Hanuman, you chant this mantra for 18 days, and at the end of 18 days, Hanuman will appear to you and give you a benediction. He said, oh, wonderful. So he was meditating and praying and chanting and absorbed, and at the end of 12 days, Hanuman appeared to him. And guess what he said? He said, Hanuman, what are you doing here? Got 6 more days. You're early. You know, the vrata was 18. What are you doing in 12 days? So come back in 6 days. So Hanuman said, what a nonsense this guy is. So that story is, we do the service, but the service should be done with devotion and not so much the ritual. We're not interested in the ritual. The ritual is a package for the devotion, and the ritual is not what counts. The devotion is what counts. Krishna says, Bhakya mama vijananti yavam yasya tatvataha tato, what is that verse? Tato? Vishateya taranantu. Only by bhakti am I known. Not by gyan, not by karma, not by yoga, not by anything. Only by bhakti. So Hanuman, he is personification of bhakti. Okay, so I should relinquish my talk and give way to the beautiful transcendental forms of Sri Sri Gaura Nitai Jagannath Baladev, Lady Subhadra, and Sri Sri Radha Bhakti Bihari Ji. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Giri means mountain. Jai Shri Radha Bhakti Hari Ji.